Welcome to this week's Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup, being brought to you by Nebraska Soybean Farmers and their Checkoff. I'm Susan Littlefield. And let me tell you, folks, if the pre-show conversation we just had is anything like this show is going to be, you're going to get a lot of great information coming your way, as it's been an interesting week of markets. Next week is only a four-day week because we've got a holiday throwing in and, of course, a huge report. There's a lot of other factors that were being watched, and including this cattle on feed report. We're going to dive into that and a whole lot more on this week's report.
Meet the champions of innovation in the heart of Nebraska. They're not just farmers, and they nurture more than just crops. Pushing boundaries and turning challenges into opportunities. They trade knowledge and know-how, and their dedication doesn't end at harvest. It's in your every bite and every drive. The future of food, fuel, and fiber, and the future of Nebraska starts right here.
Welcome once back. As of course, we have got joining us Kyle Bumstead, Kyle with Allendale, and Mike Zuzlo with Global Commodity Analytics. A little side note, both these gentlemen have never been on this show together, but they've replaced each other, filled in for each other on some of the other programs we've done. So I'm pretty excited to have both of them on the screen at the same time, because they are both a wealth of information. And I think, first of all, to start out, this has been an interesting ride that we've seen on the week. And I always like to start with just kind of give me a little synopsis of what you've seen in this trade this week that caught your attention. And Mike, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it's great to be back with you, Susan. Kyle, it's great to meet you. I've always appreciated everything you say when I watch the program you're on. I guess from a 30,000 foot view, Susan, from this past week, I would say two things come into my mind. The U.S. agriculture trade, the demand side, has remained pretty weak, and it's kind of weakened more. In that, the soybeans especially are getting a little bit more sharper focus on what China's plans are for 24-25. They released fresh GMO traits for seeds for 2024 planting. That included, my understanding, three varieties of soybeans, which is historically very strange for them to go after more domestic soybeans. They also have talked about crushing their own soybeans. And even though that's more expensive than importing soybeans, they're talking about subsidizing their crushers as a result of that extra expense. You throw on top of that the idea that they have specifically said they're going to rely more upon their Belt and Road partners, friends, more this coming year, i.e. Russia, who in eastern Russia, there's a lot more soybean acreage being planted, is my understanding, to service China. So we've got a more sharp focus on that, I think. And I think that disrupted the soybeans. What came in from kind of out of nowhere, which was very welcome ahead of next week's reports, was the issue of the South American weather. This time Argentina, some areas getting in the Pampas region, Santa Fe regions, getting upwards of 11 inches of rainfall from some of my sources down there, washing out soybean fields, slowing corn harvest dramatically. Condition is a big issue. And now that rain is supposed to, and that front is supposed to be moving into center west Brazil, 6 to 8 inches of rain over the next 10 to 14 days. Here again, my South American contact telling me that would probably wash out newly planted safrinha corn. So I think some of the things that we've looked at, they've become a lot more poignant, and we still have South American weather to deal with.
All right. What about for you, Kyle? What's the thing that you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, Mike made some great points in there, and I'd just like to add the fact that we saw, likely some sizable short covering here as far as the soybeans go. Had a pretty good size rally there Tuesday and Wednesday, and Wednesday into Thursday night there, pretty good rally, and I think there are some non-commercials covering there. But I do want to point out that as much as we saw these things rally here, the spreads really did not come to life and say, wow, there's just an overabundance of commercial buying coming back in here was giving us export sales. Yes, we have made a few small export sales this week. I will give it that, but they were just kind of token business. And Mexico bought a little bit of corn, and we sold a few beans, but nothing really major. And there's a lot of chatter about how China's really stockpiling, and we talked before the show about stockpiling grain as far as China, if they were to invade Taiwan and the Russia deal over there. But it really doesn't say to me that they're in here buying hand over fist, because we are about to levels in corn that we're about out the full financial carry out there in the corn market. And we haven't even started the growing season yet. So we've got plenty of old crop around is what it tells me. And the soybeans are doing the same thing. They're just little bit by little bit inching that carry back into the market, which is saying, we don't want your beans right now. So we did have, you know, some tight spreads there early on here about 6-8 weeks ago saying, hey, we might have some late summer demand here as far as export demand. But those spreads have since widened out in the last 6 to 8 weeks.
All right, this is where I want to sit back in this conversation and just have both of you kind of talk a little bit, as you both brought up and talking about watching the carry and the basis. So for that grain producer, what does that mean, and what should they be looking for? Who would like to jump in?
Well, go ahead, Kyle. Yeah.
I think when you're looking at this market, it tells us on rallies that we've got to be sellers here. And yes, we've got the funds that have had that have got this big short position in the market. And yes, they could cover, but at the end of the day, the commercials still drive this market as far as the supply and demand. And when you've got full carry in this market, which we're sitting here hovering on 67% full commercial carry here in this corn complex, it says any rallies are meant to be sold, because it's probably going to mess with your basis just a little bit, because on these rallies, you're going to probably get some selling coming in here. And there's really not a lot of commercials in here buying this thing. Now, if they were starting to narrow those spreads up a little bit, I'd say, yeah, we have some commercial business being done. We're probably going to have some sizable export sales being made. Not seeing that right now. So right now, it looks to me like we're relying on ethanol and soybean crush right now as far as our grind and our grind capacity here, as far as what's keeping the undertone or the current underneath this market as far as demand. It's not the export leg of the equation. Now, we are keeping some demand here with cattle on feed. We'll talk about cattle on feed here in a little bit, but we are still keeping a little bit of feed demand here after looking at those numbers.
Yeah, I would agree with everything real briefly. I would say the only exception would be Mexico and the corn demand there on the export front, keeping us up about 30% year to date on commitments. But it's important to the viewer understand that funds know every bit about as much about contango, what they call carrying charge, as we do in the commercial side of the business, Susan. And so, like Kyle said, if you have a wide spread and the markets are rallying, it's probably weather and supply. Weather and supply are typically rallies to sell. So I still think the European market is number one for the grains in South America. Paranagua, the port of Paranagua, is the number one for the beans. If we want to tighten our spreads up, we really want to see that EU market get moving. And we did make a 10-week high in EU corn this week. Paranagua's jumping again, but we're still $30 a ton over that. But if the Brazilian farmer's hurt, he'll stop selling, and then that'll drive that price up, I think.
Well, we've been kind of beat over the head, shall we say, about March 28th report. We've got to really watch what these numbers have to say. So, Mike, I'll start with you. What is your takeaway ahead of these numbers, knowing as well that we get those numbers on a Thursday, markets are closed Friday for Good Friday, and we head into a 3-day holiday weekend?
I'm not that far off from USDA, and so I'm an outlier, I think, as far as the acreage base. You know, I'm pretty close to USDA saying that we're rotating into beans away from corn. I think we'll pick up acres in the Central Belt, but I'm also hearing Eastern Corn Belt producers and Western Corn Belt producers who are not irrigated are going to be looking at more beans, probably because of cost of production issues, Susan. So the acreage base, I hope it comes in normal, meaning you don't pick a winner and pick a loser in terms of Dease corn versus Nove beans and, you know, irritate that spread all over again because of some, you know, out of balance type acreage base number that USDA throws at us. I'd say the stocks report goes to our earlier conversation. If we want a better basis, especially with ethanol stocks at 1-year highs, you know, we're at the same level as we were a year ago because we're starting to tamp down gasoline demand. We really want those stocks numbers on farm stocks for corn and beans to show that the farmer really did let go of a lot the last 60 days.
All right. What about for you, Kyle? What are you going to watch for this report next week?
Well, like Mike said, irritating that corn versus soybean spread. And for the last 6 months, that spread has sat at 2.5. And, you know, under 2.5 favors planting corn, and it's set right at 2.5. So as Mike said, it's going to probably be favored on the bean side of things. Also going to be watching, you know, the numbers. Yeah, they're going to trade for like 10 or 15 minutes, but I think we're going to go back to weather. What's going to happen here in the Northern Plains as far as early wheat seeding, anything like that? What's our weather situation going to be here in the Central Plains as well, too? How fast we're going to get the corn planters in the ground? And that, I think, could dictate soybeans as well, not only from the financial side, as Mike talked about, with interest rates the way they are and input costs, but how timely we're getting this thing in. Because when it comes down to it, soybeans are a less cash-intense crop. And if you're getting pushed against the eight ball as far as time-wise goes, granted, we're not even to the 1st of April yet, but it wouldn't take long to get a delay here if we sat in rain here for, you know, 3 weeks or something like that. Then it would make the decision a little bit easier to go to soybeans.
All right, we got to talk about this Catalan Feed Report that came out on Friday afternoon. And I want to get both your takes. Mike, we'll kind of throw it to you. Try wrapping your head around those numbers.
Well, it couldn't have been a worse report from a standpoint of the survey of estimates. 110 placements, that was way above what I was thinking. I didn't even think we'd make the 106 plus number. I thought it'd be more like 103, 104, Susan. And it was tragic to see how many big states came in with a lot bigger placements. Colorado, I think, was up 15% versus last month. My state of Kansas was up 17% versus last month at 455,000 head. That was a shocker to me. So the opening up of the downside, the feeders breaking below the 40-day moving average on Friday, I was hoping, as we talked about on midday, we'd get a decent report and then we'd springboard back on Monday, maybe set up for another move higher to retest those September of last year's highs. This report really puts that in jeopardy and probably opens us up to the downside. I would say the 52-week moving averages in the feeders and then those March lows in the April fats, I think that comes in around 182 on the March, April cattle, fat cattle. Marketings were very disappointing. They didn't lend any support at all to those feeder numbers either, coming in at 103, the very low end of the Reuters range.
So Kyle, does it come as no surprise though in a smidge way, because we knew placements were difficult in January and February because of weather?
Yeah, my gut told me beforehand, don't be surprised if it's a big number. I just didn't think it was going to be that big. You know, obviously we all know that in January we didn't move the feeders because, you know, the sale barns were closed. It was a weather issue. Now, this is just pushing it out there towards those deferred issues that, you know, late June, July, early August timeframe as far as these placements go. So, I mean, it really doesn't surprise me that much. And looking at the marketing number, I'm a little bit disappointed there too as well, because we had an extra day of marketing here during the month of February here in 2024 than we had versus last year. So that tells me that with the carry and the structure of this market the way it's been, even though there's no textbook carry in the livestock complex, you can't really technically hold them, you can roll those hedges out, and we've seen the weights start to balloon back up in a counter-seasonal move as far as these weights go. Now, we can only rely on that crutch about bad weather from December and January so long about the weights here. We've had some great weather here recently. Corn has been cheap, and you look at that and you say, you know what, I can roll this thing out. I can collect $3-4 here on my hedges. I've got some cattle to go next time. I'll just feed them just a little bit longer, and I'll just collect it up and play the basis. Now, this week here, the basis did kind of swap ends. We had the cash above the board, so we are about that time of year where we do typically see a basis swap, and basis swaps can signify either a top of a market or the bottom of a market. And since we've been trading this way for quite some time, since like the second week of February, we've been trading completely sideways in both the cattle and the feeders here with an upward slight bias. Now, what I'm looking at here, as Mike said, we got the moving averages below us here, but I'm also looking at this June contract at that 180.62. That would be a new 4-week low if we take that out and violate that. We do have enough length in here by the non-commercial funds that we could see them hit the exit door, and it could make for a sizable move lower, as Mike said.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you both joining us. If I don't get to talk to you beforehand, which I will on the radio side, but from this perspective on this show, you guys have a very wonderful Easter. And just want to really quick remind our listeners that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's been the Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup.